8:37 now. A violent drug dealer who attacked his partner but can't be deported because one of his children struggle with their gender identity. There's a rapist who claimed he didn't know having sex with a sleeping woman was illegal. And the leader of a Rochdale grooming gang who stayed in this country for years because he said his son needed a role model. Just a few examples of the European Convention of Human Rights making it more difficult to deport foreign criminals. But does it still have a role as an important way of protecting us as a society against an overly powerful state? And I think the argument would be people will accept that there are good things about it, but they're concerned that there are bad examples of where it's being used. So how do we balance those two things? Is it possible to balance? Is balance the right way of thinking about it? Let's talk to the former Conservative Minister, Alex Shelbrook. Morning, Alec.
Good morning.
And the immigration lawyer, S. Shelvin. Morning, S.
It's Shelvin, but good morning.
Good morning, and nice to speak to you. Alec, do you want to start with you? We can find these cases. They're not that difficult to find where the ECHR has allowed people to stay in this country. In your view, does that mean the whole thing is a problem, or is it just the way it's interpreted?
I think it's just the way it's interpreted. I don't think we should leave. I think most countries in Europe are members, whether they're in the EU or not, I mean across the whole of Europe. It has an important role to play. But the problem we have in this country is that back in 1998, Tony Blair made it supreme to our own courts. And I think that's in where the problem lies, because in the cases you've just named, we should be able to deport them. I mean, for whatever we may talk about, the right to the family life, dealing Class A drugs destroys people's lives, and not least the violent offenders. They're giving up their right to operate within the law, within our society. Why should they be allowed to stay here? And I think if we disentangle ECH law from British law and just used it in the same way the rest of Europe uses it, then we wouldn't have such a lack of faith in it, because it does play some important roles. But the ability to be able to tweak our roles and say that people, our laws, and say that people who commit such heinous crimes, but also destroy so many lives in terms of dealing Class A drugs, etc., should be able to be deported.
Dr. Shelvin, what do you make of those examples? I mean, they are specific examples. We're not saying that's the same thing that happens every single day in the judicial system, but there are these examples. Is there a way of making the system run so those things do not happen?
Well, I mean, the first thing is in relation to the convicted drug dealer, the article in The Sun, where I know Sir Alec has provided a quote. It's not the family life of the deportee we're looking at. In that case, it was family rights of the children. Because when the upper tribunal looked at the case, they made it quite clear that it would be lawful to send the individual, the deportee, back to Jamaica in relation to his rights with respect to whether he is going to face any very significant obstacles on return to Jamaica. The tribunal, the fact-finding tribunal, at a time when the Conservatives were in power, made it quite clear that on a concession made by the Home Office, he had a genuine parental relationship with those children, but it would still be lawful to send him back to Jamaica in relation to his own rights.
So what does that mean in practice?
The rights of the children.
Yeah, so just in practice, does that mean the state could have sent him back alone and left his children here?
No, because the point is that's when the rights of the children come into play, these innocent children, because it was accepted by the first tribunal in 2013 that it would be unduly harsh on the rights of the children to be separated from the father. And parts of the analysis of the upper tribunal, I'm sure Sir Alec has read that determination, because we believe in the rule of law. We've got independent judges here. So not only one, but two judges found that be unlawful to remove the deportee back to Jamaica, GH. The important thing here is that the cultural heritage of the children would not be ensured by the father being deported, because it's a mixed race family. He's black Jamaican, the mother is white British. And secondly, in relation to the gender questioning child who become withdrawn, and there was a clear, serious impact on this child, even when the migrant was in prison. So an independent social worker provided a report, and on that, the basis of the report, not one but two judges found it be lawful to allow the appeal and allow him to stay. So it's the rights of the children were in play.
Well, as I said, because of his children, exactly how I framed it. Alec, the point, therefore, is that the independent people regarded this as a sensible use of the rules. What do you say to that?
Well, I agree. Within the law as it stands, that was the conclusion came to. But the problem we face in the fact that it's supreme to our law means we can't adjust our law to say, if you want to destroy people's lives, and I mean many lives, through the criminality and dealing of Class A drugs, then you are aware of the consequences that could come to you. And these are serious, serious crimes. And quite frankly, we're talking about one family, his family, saying it overrides the damage and harm caused to all other families involved in this. So as it stands at the moment, I entirely agree with everything that's been said, but we are unable to change the law to say that we don't accept this.
Yeah. And Dr. Chelvin, some people will be listening to this and say it doesn't seem fair to them that someone who's a violent drug dealer, if he had no children, could get sent back to Jamaica. But the fact of him having children here keeps him in this country. And it might be legal, but people from a moral position might say that's not acceptable in their view.
No. I mean, look, let's look at two things here. I don't understand Sir Alex's legal analysis. We're not just talking about the Human Rights Act under Tony Blair. We're talking about legislation which was introduced since 2012 within our parliament regarding the balancing exercise, and that's where the undue harshness test is derived. So it's not a Labour ploy from the Human Rights Act in the late 90s. But secondly, in relation to the rapist, he was found by the fact-finding tribunal to be bisexual, even though the Home Office said that he wasn't bisexual. Not only did he win in the first-year tribunal, but two further judges refused the Home Office permission to appeal. And the problem with that is that when you go back to Jamaica as somebody who's bisexual or gay, there's a real risk of you being tortured or murdered. And that's Article 3 of the Convention. There's no balancing exercise within Article 3 when you're looking at the risk of torture.
I understand,
that's very important.
But again, some people will say, if you come to this country and you rape someone, your sexuality is of no interest to anybody else, and you go back to where you came from. And if your sexuality is a problem in that country, that's a tragedy, and that's difficult, and it's awful, and it's not right, and it's morally wrong. But the fact of the matter is you committed a crime in this country, and some people will be listening and saying, therefore you should go back to the country you came from.
Yes, but I mean, this government's made quite clear that they are committed to the European Convention on Human Rights, and we do not send individuals back to their death. Even the Supreme Court in November 2023, when looking at the Rwanda case, said it's not just, I mean, can we make it clear? It's not just the European Convention of Human Rights which protects that right not to be sent back to be tortured. It's also the UN Convention Against Torture. It's also the 1966 International Covenant on Civil Political Rights. So it's not just an ECHR issue. The Supreme Court made it very clear that this is not limited to European law. And Sir Alec also said that we need to be able to do things which our European partners do. Well, it's all about, you know, applying the law and the rule of law. So when you look at the articles in The Sun, you look at the article in the Daily Mail regarding the rapists, and you look at the article in relation to the grooming gang, I mean, clearly their deportation appeals, they lost those deportation appeals regarding the two individuals from Pakistan. Their names have been known. The question then is now, and these are live proceedings, and I won't comment too much into detail because they're live proceedings, whether they are stateless and non-returnable. And that issue is regarding the stateless convention and nothing to do with the European Convention of Human Rights.
I understand the point, but again,
it's very important to know the legal status of these cases.
And that's fair enough. Just finally to you, Alec, I guess the question is, should the British country be able to send back a bisexual rapist to a country that doesn't tolerate bisexuals?
Sorry, it's not tolerate, they will kill. Torture and kill.
They will torture and
it's
kill.
It's very important. It's not toleration. These are, you know, 2005, the Country Guidance case, which I was instructed on, made it quite clear that in Jamaica, if you're gay or perceived to be gay...
So you think... Interesting. So they believe that every bisexual in Jamaica is tortured and killed?
Yeah, under the Refugee Convention, that's the ECHR. There's a real risk that if they think that you're gay or you are gay, that you'll be murdered. That's a 2005 country guidance case called DW Jamaica. That's a law. The Home Office country policy information, the Home Office own policy documents.
Okay,
accept the continued application.
Alec, so with that clarification in mind, should the British state send back a bisexual rapist to Jamaica with that context in mind?
Well, I think the question should be, where's the proof of that? But you came to this country and you broke the law with heinous crimes. Are we just to accept that and say, well, it's a safe haven here, you can do that, you can be prosecuted, but that's where it ends.
Okay, well, listen.
It's not just where is the proof. This is the law of the country. We accept that anybody who's proved to be bisexual and proved before an independent judge, and the Home Office have lost two applications for permission to appeal. So that finding is a legal finding on the facts, and it's also the Home Office policy and the cases in this country which accept that if you're gay or perceived to be gay, you are a refugee. Now, he would have won under the ECHR because most probably it was found that he'll be a real risk and danger to the community. But the point is, we do not, as a country, and these are British values, in an ECHR was drafted out of the wishes of Churchill, is that we do not send people back to their deaths.
I understand that point.
Refugees who obey the law.
Okay, we're not going to settle it now, I don't think, but interesting thoughts on both sides there. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Dr. S. Chelvin and the former Conservative Minister, Alex Shelbrook.